Welcome back to Sports Day, where it's Kia's open season. It's on now with match-winning deals and red energy. Jimmy, we're going to have to go back to this issue of the Australian Open and what the Premier said today, because before we go to Steve Cornelio, just to put on the record, he said that other countries would have pounced on the billion-dollar tournament, with Melbourne risking losing hosting rights altogether, and that would have been a massive blow, financial blow to the economy, which we'd all agree with it. But he used Japan as an example, with their Olympic tennis complex in Tokyo ready and waiting after the delay of the 2020 Games. But, I mean, I suspect that doesn't fly at the present time, because they're in a much worse situation than most countries at this stage, and the Olympics itself doesn't look like going ahead. He does say again that if the Australian does not happen in Melbourne, it'll happen somewhere else. It will happen in Japan. It will happen in China. It will happen in Singapore. The real risk is then it doesn't come back. Anyway, we'll come back to that, because we've got one of the leaders of the competition joining us on the line. Steve Cornelio, the Giants captain, is with us. And it's welcome to 2021, Steve, and thanks for your time tonight in the program.
No, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And, thanks for having me on.
Do you reckon we should be having the Australian Open, given the set of circumstances?
I'm not too sure. But in terms of how fondly I watch it, I can't say. I do watch it with the Oz Open, of course, and like to attend it. But in terms of the politics of it, I'm not too sure.
Well, your AFLW team has had to keep shifting bases because of COVID. They're in Albury. Now they've had to quickly rush across to Adelaide.
Yeah, it's COVID, really, isn't it? We've never really experienced this like in sport, across the world, really ever, where there's, hub type of situations. And unfortunately for the AFL, W girls, who it's tough for a lot of them for a number of reasons, not only personally, but professionally, with trying to balance AFL and other work, it's certainly a tough time. So we're definitely sparing a thought for them as well.
Wherever I go, Stephen, I get big raps about you as a person, and we know what you do on the field. Tim Jepp, who's known you since you're a boy over in Western Australia, continually gives you a major rap. But you found yourself in a bit of a hole last year, a big hole. You were the focus of the whole competition for a period of time, which must have been difficult to deal with, and certainly puts a bit of a target on your head coming into 2021. How have you dealt with all of that?
Yeah, no doubt, Jared. It was a difficult year for myself, and one I probably haven't had in my career before. Of course, I've had some downs over the time, but last year, looking over my career, it was a really difficult time. And I've just been taking the last few months really just to reflect on what it is that got the better of our team, and what got the better of me, and how I can change that and come back a better player. And like I said, I've been fortunate enough over my career to have some really good ups, and evolve as a player, and the type of player, and more importantly the leader I want to be for our football club. I want guys to be able to see me rise from challenges like the ones of 2020, and be an example of how we can turn it around as a team and as a club.
So when you did your reflection, where did you feel you made an error? And were you at all bitter at all at various stages that you've dealt with about getting dropped? I mean, it must have been a year of great reflection, or post-season of great reflection, as to how you kickstart this season on a positive note.
Yeah, I think, for me, I was fortunate enough to be vice-captain for, a number of years under Phil and Cal, and I don't know, I probably just tried to think about changing too many things. Spoke to someone during the back end of the year as to I know it was different because of the hub situation. Yep. Playing games every 4 or 5 days, but really getting a Monday to Wednesday and then separating that from Thursday to Saturday in terms of the conversations that need to be had with staff, or the time management piece, getting that out of the way earlier in the week, and really having that Thursday, Friday and Saturday to focus on, your what you bring to the team, your performance. And I was probably just thinking too many things. I think, Jared, there was, probably, a few things that I had on my plate that I probably could have cut out of my schedule. And so I think, yeah, I think time management was a big one for sure. And I couldn't get a kick, which obviously didn't help the on field stuff. But yeah, I think it was just a number of things, and they're probably the main ones.
Talking to a few people around the club, Cogs, they're all pretty excited about the opportunity and the potential of the forward group and forward of the ball. Jez Cameron leaves, but fit Toby Green this year. Jesse Hogan comes in looking to really reignite his career. The emergence of Riccardi, you know, a lot of talent still in the front half.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, you know, the blessings of, you know, a couple of guys, you know, choosing to move on. There's a number of guys there that the competition's only probably just seen glimpses of, and Riccardi's probably one of those. Everyone's obviously seen, you know, how good Jesse can be when he's on, and we're definitely working, you know, really hard to make sure that, you know, he can, you know, physically and mentally perform for the Giants and get back to, you know, what he was doing best. It's just really exciting at the moment to see. To see so many young guys actually, you know, see a path. I think, you know, for a long time, a lot of our younger players probably, you know, have either been drafted to the club, and yes, they work hard, and yes, they're getting better. But there's guys like Jeremy, Zach Williams in front of them, Aiden Corr in front of them, and now they actually can see a real path and have come in an attitude where, you know, they want to be the name getting, you know, caught out in that position come round one.
And a teammate of both of ours and now a coach, he was a bit of a mad scientist when I played with him, but he's in charge of a lot of that stuff in Steve Johnson now, back at the Giants as a coach.
Yeah, he is. I actually, you know, obviously I played with him for a number of years and I forgot his kicking ability and put one in the back of the head yesterday because he was doing a couple of those no-look kicks and a few terminologies. Changes that he's had already since he's been there, and there was one, I guess, Drew or play in particular called the J curve that wasn't a snap at all. It had nothing to do with a snap, which he thinks he created. So, been a number of terminology had to, you know, been altered or changed to make sure Steve is happy with it.
Has he been focusing on ball movement? Because a lot of people when they watched the Giants last year thought, when you lost, it was the ball movement from the back half that cost you in some games. Has that been a big focus for him?
Yeah. I think that forward line will grow. You know, having someone like him with his expertise, I think also, you know, a ball movement and some of the ideas, I guess people that are fortunate enough to obviously know him and know how well he knows the game. I think, you know, obviously, he was a fantastic player, both skill-wise and what he achieved in the game. But as a coach and what he brings with his knowledge, ideas, but his hands-on approach, I think, is just one of the great assets that we've been able to access and get full-time this year. I think we, you know, definitely missed like him around the organization, and we're fortunate to have him on board. And I know. A lot of guys, you know, grew up watching him play, and to be able to work with him and see how he, you know, interacts with players is just phenomenal.
I ran into Jesse Hogan. I used to go surfing with him a little bit in Paddington a couple of weeks before Christmas. He looks in a pretty good space, and he's a bit like, in some ways, the Giants themselves. A little bit unfulfilled. A lot of people have written him and you off, and yet get things right, and the dream still is there.
Yeah, I'm definitely unfulfilled, Jared, in terms of, you know, we still get to win anything, really. And, you know, in terms of hunger and desire, especially after a year like 2020, both, you know, personally and collectively as a footy club, we're, you know, well, you know, capable of being right up there again this year. It's just about, you know, what we're going to do about it. And, you know, the work, obviously, has started for us a lot for the first and 4 years before Christmas, but you know, a really good feel about the place at the moment. But yeah, very much unfulfilled and you know, to be continued.
So, do you have much to do with Jesse as captain? I mean, clearly he is a pivotal part, even though, you know, a bit of a free hit. You got him for bugger all in reality, and he's a super talent. But do you have a bit of an extra handle on where he's at, given that he's had some issues, but he's so important for your future and the team's future?
Yeah, for sure. I think I was fortunate enough to Chris to spend a bit of time and do some training sessions with him and some conversations. I think we're very fortunate. Like you said, in fact, you can lose someone like Jeremy and gain someone like Jesse with phenomenal talent and probably like you were saying before, a little bit unfulfilled as to what he has left in the game and in conversations with him already. And guys like Toby and I know Shane Mumford in particular. One of the we're keeping him for the fact that loving it and we want him and need him to be a key part of it. So far he's loving what Sydney can provide for him and provide for the player.
Just a couple ones on a lighter note before we let you go there as the reception starts to break up a bit. Hey, sure. We know he's a very entertaining bloke. You guys sort of did a bit of a video launching your 10-year anniversary jumper. He was the creative director on this little masterpiece.
Yeah, he's always thereabouts, and his affiliation with Puma, I think, has given the green light to have a look at some of the designs for this piece. I think that the fans are going to love it. I think it's been a little bit the same with our journeys in the last few years, but this one they're going to love. And I've had a sneak peek of the commercial. Obviously, Heath and he, very funny, but well, they're going to love the design and the jumper is going to be special. 10 years in our existence now, and we thought it was time to do something a little bit different.
What does a number one ticket holder at the Perth Glory get you?
Well, it gets you. It can't actually fight at a game in Perth, that's for sure. So I'll have to be waiting till they come over to Sydney, but as to what it holds just yet, we'll have to wait and see in a COVID season for the A-League.
How good a player were you at the World Game?
If there's any teammates, Toby Green and Lockie Whitfield listening, it's they'll have a bit of a chuckle, but I do rate my sport, but not as highly as those two boys. We do. We do play from time to time when we get the chance in the off season, my finishing capabilities aren't as strong as the Whitfields of the world.
Well, great to have you on board, and great to have you feeling happy and sounding happy. Anyway, Stephen, captain of the club. It's in a very high profile position. You're under the pump, but you're back in the starting blocks like everybody else. Good luck for 2021, and hopefully we'll chat again.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Steve Canelio, he joined us there for the Australian-made. Australian-made logo, be sure. It's Aussie. This is Sports Day. Jimmy, one more comment from you before we go. Plenty more ahead for McDonald's. 7 new flavours of frozen Coke at Macca's are now available. Tell us in a 20 seconds what Canelio's like.
Ripping person. He can call it up and down the ladder. First-year players, rookie players to the CEO in Dave Matthews or Tony Shepherd, the chairman. Caring individual, works his backside off and he'll bounce back.
Well, the focus will be on him without question. We're going to take a break. More after this.